Okay, so I apologize about yesterday. We're starting to get used to the technology. But I want to do a synopsis of what we talked about yesterday. We're in a Mitos workshop. I thought that was a cool name for this class. And because everybody likes to work on Mitos. So the text that we're using is the Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Yud Aleph, where he actually talks about Midos separately, and it's very interesting. But yesterday we talked about how the Rambam calls Midos Hilchos Deos, which is a very strange choice to be calling the halachas of working on Midos Deos, because Deos essentially means knowledge. We explained that knowledge here does not mean a knowledge. It means perspectives. And when a person is working on his midos, he has to change his perspective. You have different types of people who you have to be flexible with. You have to have patience with different types of people. And if you can change your perspective, you can essentially deal with anyone. A lot of the work in midos is changing our perspective on things. We gave a mashal that the Olim seemed to like, that, you know, if somebody hates tuna fish and he's trying to relate to someone who loves tuna fish, the way to do that is to think about that I hate tuna fish, but I love pizza. And for some reason, the way I feel about pizza is the way he feels about tuna fish. So that's how you can understand him. You found a link of what exactly it is that the way you feel about one thing, someone feels about something else. That's very important in marriage. For example, I like food. So if my wife gives me food, I'm a happy man. My wife, though, might like a card, which I'm okay with a card, but I'd rather have a steak. So I have to realize that for my wife, a card is like a steak, right? That's the only way a person can do this in Midos, is to work on perspectives. And let's continue. We started the Mesilas Yesharim. The first words of the Mesilas Yesharim is in Perek Yud Aleph towards the end. The Mesilas Yesharim said that just like when a person is working on their actions, they also have to work on their Midos. And we had this very interesting point, that the Mesilas Yesharim says it's harder to fix a mida than to fix an action. If a person wants to work on technically waking up in the morning for Zman Kriya Shema, that's an isolated act. But what if a person wants to work on laziness? If a person wants to work on laziness, so then they really have to change who they are, because even if a person gets up every morning at Zman Kriya Shema, it doesn't change the mida of laziness. To work on a midah is an all-encompassing thing, which we said can be caused from two particular types of things. One that the Mesilas Yesharim mentions himself, which is what we call nature. Nature is how you were born. You're born, each person is born with a certain behavior. It's actually interesting that somebody who has a lot of insight was dealing with a very difficult daughter, and somebody said to him, did your daughter cry a lot when she was a baby? And he said, yes. He goes, I can tell, because based on my understanding of her, she needs a lot of attention. She needed a lot of attention when she was little, and now she also needs a lot of attention. A lot of times these traits don't change. My Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, said a line that sticks with me a lot, which is, we all play with toys. Our toys just get more sophisticated when we get older. When we're younger, we say, don't touch my Lego. And when we're older, we say, get off my car or get off my phone. But most of the time, our midos are from nature, the way we were born. And in a family, it can be very humorous how different people are, because they have a different makeup. Then there's the second point, which the Rambam talks about, which is the idea that is known as nurture, which is being in an environment can change your midos. There's actually a beautiful radak. The radak says on the pasuk, "Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha ben amasecha." He asks on the double lashon, right? It's a very interesting choice of words that David uses, somewhat redundant, repetitive. David says, "Ani avdecha," and then "Ani avdecha ben amasecha," which is a repetition. So the Radak says there are two ways to serve Hashem. One way is called avdecha ben amasecha, the things that I got from my genetic pool, the things that I got from my mother or my parents. I'm an avdecha ben amasecha. I took the things that I got from my parents and I use them to serve you. He actually says a fascinating thing, that the midos of a mother when she nurses her child actually go from the heart of the mother to the child. This is why Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was very against formula, you know, if you could avoid it, because there's a very holy thing that goes on when a mother nurses a child. That's the Ani Avdecha Ben Amasecha, that I am an Eved Hashem from my mother. I'm the son of your maidservant. Then there's another aspect of Avodas Hashem where we veer from our parents. Perhaps our parents aren't even strong in those areas at all. And that's called Ani Avdecha, plain. I'm your Eved, meaning I work on areas that might have never even gotten from my parents, and I try to work on them on my own. So he says a beautiful pshat. That's how you read the pasuk. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. I'm your Eved in my own personal Avodas Hashem. And ani avdecha ben amasecha. I'm a servant of yours in the legacy that I got, the midos base that I got from my parents. So it's very hard to work on something that's part of your nature. The Mesillas Yesharim here says, Kol milchama shehi neged netiyas hateva, any milchama that you're going to wage against nature itself is a milchama chazaka, right? If you try to change something, it always naturally comes back to what it was originally. The mashal that I enjoy doing, I hope it'll work on a recording. I take a piece of paper. Some of the veterans know this mashal very well. If you want paper to stay in the middle, so if you go like that, it goes back again. If you go like that, it goes back again. How do you get paper to stay in the middle? So what you do is the following. You take the paper and you fold it very, very strongly like this. We're doing a how-to workshop here. And then you position it in the middle. See, it's in the middle. The only way to get something into the middle to be balanced is to break the resistance. The natural teva of the thing rejects change. So the first thing you have to do is break that natural resistance. If someone's lazy, they're always going to, I see someone's using a tissue for it. It doesn't work with tissues, but you can use it. You need a regular piece of loose leaf paper. But the idea is, why does it keep going back? Because it was in a certain position, and it will always go back to that position. The only way to break a midah is to very much, in a very strong way, beat the teva. That's the position of the Rambam. That's why the Rambam writes that when you break a midah, you have to go to an extreme. Let's say someone wants to break laziness. They have to, for a long period of time, be that guy who always offers to take out the garbage, who always offers to get things from the Mir Svarim store for the Olam, meaning, and he has to be jumpy for 2 or 3 months to be the guy who does everything and anything. Almost imbalanced, too much work he's doing, but he's trying to break the laziness. So, because you're trying to break the natural part of you that seems to be that way. The same thing could be by generosity. If you have someone who's a penny pincher and he doesn't like giving to others, but he's upset about it, he would go through a process where he gives almost recklessly to whoever wants things, just in order to break his teva. And then the Rambam says you can go then to the healthy middle after you've gone through this process. It's a very effective way to work on Midos, and it was also adopted by the Vilna Gaon in Mishle. He refers to this process of the Rambam many, many times, because you're fighting a Mochama against your Teva. But when it comes to just doing actions, a person can always do an action without changing. He can say, I will give 10% of my money to tzedakah. That doesn't make you more generous. It just means you make a Kabbalah. You made a Kabbalah that you'll give Meiser. But if a person wants to become generous, so then they have to go through a process of breaking their Teva to become more generous. V'hu ma shepir sheba ma'amarim zechorim levracha, ezuhu gibor hakobish es Yitzrael. Now here the Mesillas Yesharim, he quietly is teaching us a tremendous chiddush. A lot of times the Mesillas Yesharim doesn't raise questions, but he teaches you how to read chazals. And what he does is he has a weave of different chazals, and he says chidushim in them based on what he's saying. I'll give you, this is a good example. The Mesillas Yesharim says, and what we just said about breaking your teva is ezehu gibor hakovish es Yitzro. Now I have a question. That's not true. That's not what the chazal means. The chazal says, who's a strong man? Someone who captures his Yetzer Hara, who conquers his Yetzer Hara. Here the Mesillas Yesharim is telling us a tremendous chiddush, that if you want to know where a person is really a gibor, the Mesillas Yesharim is saying that the Mishnah was going on breaking a midah. That when a person has a certain midah, he has something that's bringing him down. And a lot of it could be taiva, it could be atzlus, it could be gaiva, whatever the case may be. When he conquers that midah, he's expressing real power. Why is that the expression of power? Because if it's just an action that he's working on, that's not such strength. Because he could, okay, the Mesillas Yesharim saying, fine, so you weren't benching out loud, so now you're benching out loud. But let's say someone wants to become a grateful person. He's ungrateful and he wants to become grateful. So then that itself is going to require glura, tremendous amounts of strength, because he's now trying to change himself. So here the Mesillas Yesharim says a fantastic chiddush, that the chazal, ezuhu gibor akovish es Yitzrael, is actually going on changing your midos. This happens a lot in the Mesillas Yesharim. The Mesillas Yesharim rarely tells you that he's saying a chiddush and a chazal. In fact, modestly, the Mesillas Yesharim writes at the beginning of his sefer that it's possible for people to go through my sefer and not find any chidushim at all, maybe just a couple. That itself is his anava. And he even hints to the fact that shouldn't be the way we read it. He goes, it's possible that you won't find any chidushim. Meaning he has a way of hiding himself in the sefer. But over here, we just learned a very big chiddush, that ezehu gibor akovish yitz yitzro is someone who makes real changes in midos. In fact, we find a lashon that the Rishonim have, and we have the Vilna Gaon uses this a lot. When we talk about working on a midah, we use the term shviras hamidos. Shviras hamidos means breaking a midah. And I would like to clarify this, because this is a common misconception. It's actually a very dangerous thing to break a midah, because you might think you're breaking yourself. People have personalities, and to ever break your own personality would be a terrible thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all gifts. And even though we're weird sometimes the way we behave, but that's also part of our personality, and we have to harness our personality. So you can't break yourself. So what exactly are we doing? The answer is, the definition of breaking yourself is breaking the part of your midah that brings you down. I'll give some examples. Let's say you have someone who's super generous by nature. That's a beautiful midah, but where's the downfall of that midah? When he has to say no. It's going to be hard for such a person to say no, because it's against his nature. But being a generous person is good. Yeah, but in this context, it's bad. So what he has to do is break the negative part of the midah. He still shines as a generous person, but he breaks the negative part of it, the part of the generosity that's bringing him down. A lot of generous people I get taken advantage of. And that's never good. That's not called being a generous person. That's called being taken advantage of. And a person has to know to say no when he feels like someone's taking advantage of them. But the people who it's hard for them to say no, so their natural tendency is they can't. So the Shviras Amida says, I will say no. I was once working with a bacher about this where he felt people were just coming into his room and taking his stuff. And he didn't want to give it to them, but it was hard for him to say no. So we practiced being a little bit mean. There, that's Tikkun Amidos. And he was still the same agreeable person who in general liked giving. But when it was something that he didn't want to do, he knew how to say no. Also, you could have people who are by nature very organized and very meticulous, but they're a little bit uptight because of that. If things don't go exactly the way they want it, or people move their stuff in their room slightly, they get all bent out of shape. So being organized and being meticulous is a good midah. But what they have to do is break the negative part of that midah, the part that makes them uptight and annoying. So that part they have to get rid of. So we never maintain to break ourselves. If we become someone that we're not, Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem gave each one of us a midos base to shine in our midos. But there are parts of every midah that bring you down. And when you work on those, you become an Adam Shalem. You become a perfect person. One of my favorite things to talk about in this context, which I do bring in the Sefer in one place, is that someone once asked Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich what his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Brisker, was like. You know, you always want to know what's your Rebbe like. And he said something very interesting. He says, I don't know what Rav Chaim's like. Why? He says, Rav Chaim always did what was appropriate at that moment. When he needed to be happy, he was happy. When he needed to be angry, he was angry. When he needed to be generous, he was generous. He was so perfected in his midos that it was hard to catch him on who he was. Now, let me explain the depth of that point. The depth of that point is that not that Rav Chaim wasn't being himself. It's just that he was able to be exactly what was needed in the situation because he was an Ish Shalem. A person who's Shalem uses his midos to shine. When it's time to use generosity, he does it fully. When it's time to put his foot down, he does it fully as well. When it's time for him to be organized, he's organized. When it's time for him to be flexible, he's flexible as well. And the Adam HaShalem doesn't have any shortcoming. When we say, what's he like? Well, a lot of times what we're saying is, we even know when he hears this, when he hears that he has to go to his mother-in-law for Shabbos, he's going to go, right? Because we know the guy. We know that whenever it comes to him and his mother-in-law, he starts grunting. But what if all of a sudden, after 5 years, Yankel stops grunting about his mother-in-law? But hey, he started improving himself. He becomes less predictable, right? The worst thing you can have is a person who's predictable, because what it essentially means is that his midos are so stuck that he's going to always respond to whenever someone insults him, he'll respond this way. Whenever someone compliments, he responds this way. It's never good to be predictable, because predictability means that you're stuck in a midah. But when a person can say, no, I will get out of bed. People think that I'm lazy. No, I am not lazy. I can choose to get out of my bed. I will get up and I will come to davening on time, and I will show everyone, myself especially, obviously not anyone else, I will show myself that I can break the negativity of laziness. By the way, laziness has positive parts to it as well. The Orach HaTzadikim says that when you're lazy to do an Aveira, let's say you're lying on your bed and you're reading a book, and someone says, hey, you want to go do something, and it's something inappropriate. When you feel like, oh, I'm on my bed, I don't have koach to do that, that's actually a mila of laziness. It's the positive of laziness, that when you're lazy to do an aveira, he's machadish, the Orach HaTzadikim, that's the purpose of laziness, is to be lazy for an aveira. But we're basically discussing here that you're never supposed to change your personality. Always the generous person should remain that way, and always the organized person and meticulous person should keep that mida, because that's what allows them to shine. All we want to do is get rid of the things that are bringing us down. So this is Ezuhu Gibor HaKovish Es Yitzro, right? Very interesting. Chazal are saying a warrior. If you could picture a warrior in a very big battle, right? So picture him, and picture him capturing his enemy. That's us when we break a midah. V'hine ha-midos hein rabos. There are so many midos that we can work on. Ki kefi kol ha-pu'ulos sh'shayachim la'adim ba'olam. In any area of life that we have, k'mochein midos hein sh'achreinu nimshal b'ulosav. Every midah has its, every action that we do has its midah. So let's go through the day. Let's pick a random midah, a random action with a random midah. So you have, let's say, eating breakfast. So what does eating breakfast have to do with midos? So let's say you're wearing a tie, like I have a tie, not right now, because I'm in my home alone. Maybe I should have wore a tie for the occasion, but I think I can relax with the guys. So if I have a tie, so every morning I have breakfast. So the first thing I have to do is remember to put my tie behind me so that I don't get eggs or coffee on my tie. This is one of the things that people who wear ties have to be very wary of. I once, when I was a little kid, read a book to teach businessmen important things that they need to know. And one thing that they said over there is that businessmen should not brush their teeth on business trips, while wearing their tie. Because usually you don't have that many ties, and it's a common problem with the tie. So the first thing you need to do is be meticulous. So you gently push your tie over. Then you need to say a bracha and control yourself, even though you're very hungry. So now you're using your taiva, and your control of taiva is how you're going to eat. Are you going to eat methodically and slowly like a normal human being? Or are you going to woof it down like a big behemagasa? And then afterwards, gratefulness. As you come to your bracha achrona, you're working on the midah of being grateful, hakaras hatov. So here we took one simple act, having eggs. I used to get my eggs from Meir Solomon. Meir Solomon is no longer in yeshiva. It's unclear how I'm going to be getting my eggs in the future. But Meir comes into my office, and I have to greet him with a smile, even though it's early in the morning, and I just want to take my eggs and run. I have to say, thank you, Meir. I so appreciate these eggs today. And the cut apples, all of that effort that you put into that. And I know that today was a pancake day, and it was probably hard for you to find eggs for me on pancake day. And I see you might have even scrambled them yourself or got Yehuda to do it. So look at all these wonderful midos that I'm expressing in my, just makes me want to have breakfast all over again, even though it's late in the day. Anyway, so every midah has so many aspects to it. And let's say someone's sitting with me at the table while I'm eating. I don't like talking to people while I'm chewing and while I'm eating. But really, this guy is here and I have to deal with him. So I have to eat with patience. And he might want some of my eggs. So now if they're on my plate, I'm home free, because he's not going to take from my plate. But what if there's a big bowl of eggs and I feel I need all of them? And he would like some. Okay, right? So now I'm working on my generosity, and I'm sharing my food. That's not easy. What if he wants one of my cut, crisp apples? I'll give him one, even though it's difficult. That's the Shvir Samidos. So here we have just in breakfast in the morning, so many midos. Let's count them. What did we have? We had first being meticulous with the tie. Then we had, of course, greeting Meir with a smile, which is also Hakaras HaTov. And we had eating, making sure not to eat with tremendous taiva, but being under control, being grateful after you eat, sharing with someone else, generosity. All of these things come up in our midos. So our midos really are the way we do all of our behaviors. So the Mesillas Yesharim says that any behavior that you have, you have constant midos that are involved in doing all this. All of you there have wonderful midos, and I hope you enjoyed today's midos workshop with C.D. Stark. And it's great to be in Yerushalayim. I hope that you're getting the vibe of Yerushalayim Har HaKodesh. I hope everyone's doing well. I'm actually sending out a podcast or for the website, depending on who you are and what you have, that's called Corona Reflections. It's not a regular shmooze. I just was sitting in my Beis Medrash and just basically expressing my thoughts about Corona. It's a little bit heavy. So if anyone is, that's why I'm making all the jokes now, because this is a VOD, an upbeat VOD. But it is a little bit heavy. I felt there are certain things I wanted to express. I didn't even think that it would come out like that. I just pressed record, and I thought I was giving an introduction to a shir on Pesach, but by the time I looked at the recorder, it was already a half hour, and I said, "Okay, this is going to be a shmooze. It's not in the regular shmooze form. I don't scream. I don't yell. I'm actually pretty monotone, and I'm looking forward to feedback."